With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All righty, let's break away from rugby league for just a few minutes. As always on a Thursday morning, we go in search of winners for you from the weekend's racing that's ahead of us at Eagle Farm, Rose Hill, right around the country. And SEN's track analyst Chris Nelson is on the line. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Matty. Hope everyone's well, as you say, on this Thursday morning after a big night for some.
Yeah, well, a long night. I don't know how big it was for some, but definitely a long night. Damn late, that match. But anyway, we're okay with that. Before we hook into the tips for this weekend, the news around the Everest, of course, we've had a fair old chat about this week on this program. Going to 20 million becomes the second richest race in the world. It's already the richest turf race in the world. Look, money's money, and they're going to keep throwing it at it, but probably the big question for me is why? Why go to 20? Yeah. Why go from 15 to 20? What does it do you reckon?
I don't think it does anything. I'm with you, Matty. I see no reason in the world why you'd raise it from 15 to 20 million. Is it going to improve the quality of the field? Are they trying to get runners from overseas? Is that what the plan is? But other than that, I would have thought, you know, and I don't know the ins and outs of the industry in New South Wales, but I'm guessing from what I see written in certain places that $5 million probably could have been better spent elsewhere, track maintenance, etc.
Yeah, well, that's one of the big questions. I mean, along with what they've done with the Everest, they've done a heck of a lot in terms of raising prize money for the bush and for country racing and all that kind of stuff. So it's not just an extra $5 million going straight into the pockets. But what it does mean is an extra $100,000 for the slot holders, which means that last place, you break even. You get $700,000, which is what you're going to put in. So everyone's a winner in this race. Yeah. Nobody comes out going the other way in terms of your outlay for it, except for the punters, probably.
Yeah, the only ones that can possibly lose. Or the bookies, maybe. But, I don't know. I just don't see why is it all heading this way? Where is it going to end up? Surely this can't be sustained forever. Are we going to, in 10 years' time, see these races, if they're still even happening, are they going to be dropped back in prize money? They can't keep going up, surely. What are we going to go, $25, $30 million in a few years?
Yeah.
I just don't see the sense in it. I just think the money, I'm sure there's places that it could be better spent.
Yeah. Just from an industry point of view, just in terms of, okay, we're the second richest race in the world. Look, I've got no problem with it. If that's what they want to do and that's the way that they're going, and Peter Volandis has showed that he's an expert when it comes to marketing, when it comes to positioning and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's been great that the Everest is on our calendar. And I think that there is room for what happens in Sydney and what happens in Melbourne. I just think that that's fine. I keep scratching my head at the figure to go, as you well say, where does it stop? But what does it mean to the world and the industry when you can say, I'm the second richest race in the world? What does that add to your gravitas, you know, in terms of your product and what it does worldwide?
Well, I suppose it puts you on the world stage, doesn't it? The world are going to take notice. And maybe they do start looking at, well, hang on a minute, there's $20 million up for grabs there. There's, you know, prize money overseas isn't as good as our prize money here in a lot of cases, in most cases. So maybe some of these internationals will look at the race. And if that's what they're looking at, as I said earlier, if that's their plan, well, so be it. But if it's not the case, then you're going to get the same horses go around you've had last year and basically the year before. A lot of them have been in it multiple times, go around again for an extra $5 million. So what has that extra $5 million got you?
Yep. Yeah. Well, it appears though we could talk about it all morning. I don't know if we're going to get an answer. the only thing we do know is that it's worth an extra $5 million or will be worth an extra $5 million. Yep.
And if we had a horse running in it, we'd be quite happy about
it. Oh, mate, we'd be stoked. No problems. Break-even bills right here, which is not normally the way. Righto, let's try and get ahead of the curve then. We'll start in your backyard, Eagle Farm, this weekend. So it's Oaks Day up there on Saturday, but you've got something in race 6, over 1,500.
Yeah, and a horse from your neck of the woods here, in number 10, Brigantine, who... I tell you what, he's classed as a bit of an enigma, this horse, but he really shouldn't be. He's won 4 of 14. He's placed on a further 5 occasions. He did win at Doomben a couple of weeks ago. Now, he had to win that race. He was, what they say in the inners, he was pitchforked in at the weights. It was a class 3 set weights. He should have carried a lot more than he did against that opposition, but he didn't. He carried his 59, and he got the job done. And I thought he was quite strong late. That was 13.50. Up he goes to 1,500 metres. He has placed over around this particular range. And if you look back at his form, I mean, he's run good races in a Silver Eagle. He's placed in a Razor Sharp. He's run fourth in the Buffering. His form isn't that bad. It's not bad at all. And he goes to that longer trip. I think he's one to beat here. And he drops down to 54 kilos. So James Cummings and Jason Collett, I reckon they can combine. I reckon Brigantine will run really well. So race 6, number 10.
Okay, race 6, number 10. Of course, the race before that, the Magic Millions National Classic, $500,000 over 1,600 with Foxy Friday, the favourite at the moment. We're going to skip ahead to the Morton Cup over the 1,200, race 7. We can take out numbers 3, 8 and 14 at the moment here.
Yeah, well, there'll be punters listening, Matty, that were probably on Quantico at Scone going back on the 13th of May, and he was probably one of the best things you'll see beaten for some time. Put in a beautiful spot by Jason Collett, but unfortunately, that run right behind the leader was so good that he couldn't get a crack at them. And unfortunately, Athelric, the leader, kept going and kept him in that pocket, as did the horse to the outside. Once he finally got clear, he wound up really quickly, drove late. He missed out by a pimple on the line, unfortunately, did Quantico. An extra 2 or 3 metres, he would have had the race won. J-Mac rides. This looks a perfect race for him to get some revenge and get the punters back on track, so that backed him last time. So if you did back him last time, stick with him on Saturday. That's Quantico in the Group 2 Morton Cup.
Okay, go one better than Scone. Heading to Eagle Farm, and away we go with Quantico in race 7. Race 8 is the Queensland Oaks over 2,200. A pretty solid field here.
It is. Look, I think Fireburn put the writing on the wall in the Roses 2 weeks ago. I mean, we'd sort of dismissed her as, oh, she hadn't won since her 2-year-old days, and is she as good as she was? Well, now you start to look back through her form. She ran third in the Group 1 Vinery. She was quite good in the ATC Oaks. She didn't get much of a crack at them there. So she has 6 weeks between runs from the Oaks to the Roses. Beautiful ride by Jason Collett. He found himself back in the field near the inside, but he weaved his way through. And once she hit the front, once she got to Renaissance Woman, that was it. She just coasted. Gary Portelli says she'll improve plenty off that run. She was running away on the line. She'll get the 2,200 metres. That's not an issue. I suppose some will bag the gate, 16 before scratchings, but she's a get-back type of filly anyway. She'll be giving them a start. She'll get to the outside, Eagle Farm, long run home. I can't see how they beat her. So on with number 1, Fireburn in the Oaks.
And the last race, 9. So this could be a bit of a head-to-head, perhaps, do you think, between Golden Boom, number 2, and the favourite Red Card?
No, I'm going a little bit wider, man.
Oh,
so
good.
I'm going to go with a horse that ran second to Red Card at Scone. We go right down near the bottom of the page. Number 18, Written in Code. Gee, I love this run. Got back in the field, really hit the line, this filly. That was only start number 2. Her only other run she won at Newcastle, and she came from way back in the field there. I don't want to see her too far back here from that inside draw. Look, you could say she might get buried on the fence, but Eagle Farm is a big, wide-open track. There should be plenty of room for Chad Schofield to come through. Bit of a freshen up, extra 100 metres, all in her favour. I think she can turn the tables on Red Card.
Righto, racing 3, we'll call that. There's the tips for you for Eagle Farm and one at Rose Hill, mate. It's just a small field for the Winter Cup, just the 10 horses entered for the 2,400 metres.
It is, and again, any of the punters that were on Alabia, number 9, last time out at Rose Hill, well, they will be looking for a bit of revenge once again. Alabia just couldn't get a crack at them until all too late, clear, and ran on strongly, running third behind Outlandos. You would say was a good thing or a certainty beat on that occasion. Yes, he's up in grade here to the open company race. but he drops nicely in the weights, gets Kieran McAvoy to ride. So I think he can make amends. I think the punters should stick with him. That's race 6, number 9, Al Abia for Chris Waller.
Good on you, Chris. Have a good weekend.
You too. All the best, Matty.